Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast here on the UBS In the Now podcast channel. Joining us for the conversation, as always, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, thank you for dropping by. As always, a lot happening in Washington, D.C., so thank you for spending some time with our listeners and their clients. Nice to have you back on this Thursday morning.
Thanks, Dan. It's good to be back with you.
So, Shane, it's been about a week since you and I last spoke. It's also been about a week since we heard about the initial tariff announcements from President Trump at the White House. I know even in the past 24 hours, we have seen some notable developments on that front, including a 90-day pause on tariffs, excluding China, which I'm sure you'll get into in a few moments. But just curious as to what we perhaps can expect to see over these next 90 days and how have nations such as China, members that make up the European Union, how have they been responding to these developments?
Right. Yeah. No, interesting developments, obviously, you know, was well received by the markets yesterday. But, you know, I think to your point, there's going to still be volatility ahead on the tariff issue. And, you know, I think the next 90 days plus will be a roller coaster ride when it comes to these tariffs. Now, you know, I think it's important to take a moment to note that, you know, the pause is a pause from the higher tariff rates. It resets every country back to that 10% tariff rate. So it's not that tariffs were fully paused and not in existence. It was, you know, for example, Israel is supposed to be at a 17% tariff rate. This pause brings them down to 10%. So there are tariffs still in place. You know, pretty much universal, except for, you know, Canada and Mexico are treated a little differently because they kind of the side issues. And also to your point, China, you know, in President Trump's opinion, you know, they reacted in an unfriendly, you know, negative manner to the announcement of tariffs and increased tariffs. So President Trump has in kind increased tariffs multiple times on China. So I think China is now facing 125% tariffs. The EU had started moving forward with higher tariffs. However, you know, they were not actually implemented, so they'll be spared for the moment. You know, but to your point, you know, over the next 90 days, you're not going to be able to negotiate with everyone individually, as is kind of the goal for the Trump administration, to handle these in a very one-on-one, bespoke manner. And you heard Treasury Secretary Bessent use that word bespoke yesterday, saying that, you know, each deal would be different. And so they're now expecting that, you know, a few countries like South Korea, Japan, and Vietnam will probably be the first countries, but they're still not sure. They're going to try and set a schedule, because with over 75 countries who want to engage in negotiations, you know, all of that probably can't happen in the next 90 days, to your point. So I think they'll start work on negotiations with individual countries, and we may see some progress made over the 90 days, but in other areas, we're not going to see progress being made. You know, some of these negotiations probably can be dealt with quickly, but some of the trade problems we have with certain countries are much more detailed and will take a longer time to work out. So I think this process is going to last longer than 90 days, especially when it comes to China, when, you know, there's no really positive developments that we've seen in the past, you know, a few days or weeks.
Well, it sounds like the White House has a lot of work in front of it when you think about the scope, scale of the negotiations, and it will be interesting to see how this all progresses over the next 90 days and beyond. But thank you, Shane, for bringing us up to speed as to where this all stands as of today, April 10th. In parallel to a lot happening at the White House, there is a lot happening up on Capitol Hill. We did see Senate Republicans come up with a budget resolution framework framework last week. I'm curious as to what the framework consists of and how is this plan being received in the House of Representatives?
Yeah, so last night the House was actually supposed to vote on the Senate passed budget resolution, and they pulled that vote from happening because, to your point, there were a number of House Republicans that did not receive the Senate passed budget resolution well. And why is that? You know, I think a couple of reasons, but the real main one, it comes down to spending reductions and cuts. You know, the House under the plan would cut $1.5 trillion. Well, the Senate would only cut $3 billion. Now, that is how it is viewed, and so, you know, some House Republicans feel that, you know, they want to hold the Senate's feet to the fire so that they, you know, come closer to where Republicans in the House want to cut. What Senate Republicans are trying to argue and say, listen, we actually, the Senate have different rules in place than you, the House. So setting the $3 billion mark is a floor, not a ceiling. And what happens in the Senate is if you don't meet those floor numbers, it could put the entire bill in peril and kill it and stop it from moving forward. And so I think, you know, House Republicans are looking for more assurances that some of those higher spending cut goals will be met. So I think they're trying to figure their way out of this, and House Republicans hope to move forward today and kind of pass the budget resolution, getting some kind of assurances on the side from the Senate. So we're going to follow this quite keenly because it is a critical step on the road to renewing the 2017 tax cuts and other major initiatives that the Trump administration is trying to move forward on this year. Without this budget resolution, you know, it really puts a lot of these plans in jeopardy. So this is a key part of the plan. And, you know, I think the goal is to get it done this week so that everyone goes on their recess for spring break / Easter / Passover. And then when they come back, they can really get to work on the details moving ahead. So today will be an interesting day to see if House Republicans can move forward with that budget resolution framework.
A lot of moving parts, and it will be interesting to see how this plays out in the hours ahead. Maybe one more topic to hit on before we close out for this week, Shane. I know earlier in the week we did see Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu meet with President Trump at the White House. I believe there was a planned press conference which was canceled, but curious as to what the key takeaways were from this particular meeting.
Yeah, this is interesting. You know, it was put together in a manner that suggested that this was kind of expedited without, you know, the traditional groundwork being laid for this kind of high level meeting where, you know, traditionally when the White House has a president meet with a foreign leader, you know, they've probably behind the scenes agreed to something or, you know, are close to agreeing to something. And this is kind of the final handshake. This meeting seemed to be, you know, more of Netanyahu coming, saying, you know, with a list of asks for President Trump. And, you know, I don't think the Trump administration or President Trump was prepared to move on some of these issues. So some of these issues include the tariffs. You know, Israel had a 17% tariff. And, you know, I think, you know, President Trump probably sidelined that because of the larger conversation. And while Israel's probably happy today, they probably would like to see the 10% tariff that they're now facing reduced to zero. I don't know if that's in the offing for anyone at this moment. So, you know, it wasn't, you know, a productive meeting probably in Israel's view at the end of the day, because not only on tariffs, but, you know, this question of Iran and also Syria. In Iran, obviously, you know, President Trump signaled that the U.S. and Iran would engage in direct talks and negotiations. I think, you know, Israel is tacitly supporting it, but would like to see kind of you know, stronger line being taken by the Trump administration here. And when it comes to Turkey, you know, Turkey's influence in Syria is being met by a lot of skepticism in Israel. And so I think, you know, Netanyahu was looking for reassurances from the Trump administration, while the Trump administration was, you know, a little bit more hands-off, I think, than Netanyahu would have liked. So, you know, this meeting between Trump and Netanyahu was not negative in the sense that it didn't devolve into any kind of food fight like we saw between President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky. But, you know, it didn't really yield any huge results. And I think that may be one of the reasons that, you know, the press conference was canceled, because there really wasn't, you know, much to talk about in such a positive manner. You know, overall, I think it was a positive discussion. I just don't think it yielded any end results that warranted, you know, a celebration. So not a negative. And I think there'll be further conversations between Israel and the U.S. This was Netanyahu's second visit to the White House since Trump was sworn back into office in January. And so that signals, you know, the door is open to Israel, you know, whenever they need to have a conversation with President Trump.
Some very interesting takeaways there, Shane. Appreciate the insights, and thank you again for dropping by the podcast this week to bring our listeners up to speed on a variety of timely and pressing topics. So I wish you a nice weekend ahead, Shane, and do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Looking forward, Dan. Have a great weekend. Let's go, Mets.
They're off to a good start, absolutely. Again today, we've been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. I do want to point out to you, our listeners, as always, please reference the latest Washington Weekly publication, which is located up on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights, at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.